Welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is live.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, KJ and T-Bone. How's it going, fellas?
What's up?
What's going on?
T-Bone, did you have a good weekend?
It was a phenomenal weekend.
Did you play any golf?
Yeah, I did.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, shit. This is such bullshit.
These guys want me to talk. I knew you just went to a wedding. I didn't know you played golf.
These guys want me to talk about my golf round so bad. And I'll go ahead. Yeah, I guess we got time. So we were playing it. I think it was called Choctaw Country Club.
Okay.
In Memphis, Tennessee. First time I played with a caddy, which was awesome.
Wait, really? Like first time ever?
First time ever.
Interesting.
Well, if you don't include like my dad on the bag. At a Starburst golf tournament.
You ever played like with a four caddy, like at Redstone?
No.
Or golf
club? Yeah, this is my first time. This is my first time with one of those.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
Did you put on a show for him?
I mean, he worked for his tip.
Did you cooch him? Did you give him the coocher tip, or did you tip him well?
No, I did better. I gave him $20, and it was better than coocher.
Oh my god!
But yeah,
four and a half hours. You give him $20.
Yeah.
What a guy!
That's a foursome. So yeah, I guess that's a pretty bad tip. It's not great, but okay. Whatever. Anyways, 1 over through 9, playing pretty well. 10th hole, hit it to a greenside bunker of a par 5 and 2. I hit my third shot about 75 yards over the green.
Skull fucker.
Bye-bye.
And then I kind of blacked out from there. I want to say chunked it 3 more times, getting up to the green, tapping two putt, or no. Tapped it up, then tapped in for an 8. Then
nice.
I tripled the next hole, too. And then I was just there to have a good time. Done playing golf, pretty much.
And so it took you 2 shots to hit it 500 yards or so, and then took you 6 shots to hit it 20?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yep.
Well
it's
done.
Pretty sweet. Chicks dig the long ball, though. So. But
hey, that's golf, right? That's golf.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you were out playing. It was the... You know, we saw at least down in Austin, it was a cold front that came through pretty much everywhere. I was in Denver over the weekend, and it was snow on the ground. Was not necessarily ready for that.
Yeah,
but I did play on Friday. It was fun. It was
so how'd you play, Scott?
A little better than you did. I played pretty well.
I would hope so.
The bastard shot even par. Let's move on.
No big deal. Nah. KJ?
Well, I didn't really play golf because I'm still in a boot.
Oh, yeah.
I was in a cast.
You still have a broken ankle,
correct?
Yeah, the
broken ankle thing,
yeah,
I guess.
I mean, it hadn't stopped me, but we had a few too many cocktails before while we were watching the match play, so we didn't quite make it out.
Well, good. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll but match play this week.
Oh, fun,
right?
Baby. Yeah, let's dive into it.
Absolutely. Before we get there, check us out on social media at 3underparpod. That is the number 3underparpod on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us there. And wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe. Write us a review. Give us a 5-star rating, but most importantly, T-Bone, tell a friend about the podcast.
Tell a friend.
Word of mouth, baby. All right, match play. It's a lot of fun.
It was.
KJ, you're telling me you have a lot of notes. Let's hear it.
All right, yeah. So I filled out a bracket. I got to watch most of it. I called Molinari for the third place, and I called Kisner for win. I think that's like 4 out of 5 weeks for 3 under par.
You did.
We're getting hot.
And you were constantly reminding me and T-Bone that you called it.
Well,
it was a nice little text. It seemed like every hour on the hour.
You gotta
not
let,
really, but
you gotta give the people what they want, Scott. You gotta let them know.
That was really impressive. Well done.
But yeah, it's hard to. I mean, any of those guys can beat anybody. We saw that. I think the talk of the tournament, even though he didn't win, is that Lucas Beauregard.
Yes.
That guy, I think, is going to be a stud for a long time. You know, he's my age, and he's out there taking Tiger down. Birdies like 2 out of 3 holes and then drops a 30-foot something downhill eagle putt right on Tiger.
It was amazing.
It was phenomenal to watch him play. That's the first time I've really seen him play. I mean, I didn't know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, watching the final match, those guys are – I mean, they're almost the same golfer. When you look at Kisner and Molinari, they don't hit it long, but they're just going to fairway and greenie to death all day.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the only difference in that match was Molinari had a few bad chips, and then he three-putted 18. Otherwise, that one's right there.
That chip that he
hit over the green?
He hit over the green into the water. That was the true game changer, I think, in that match. And it's the little mistakes like that, it's going to cost you, especially in a WGC like that.
Yeah, yep. That's... I mean, especially for a guy like that, like both of those guys' short games, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. See Molinari do that. It's just, I think he got stuck in between, am I going to fly it a little higher shot and land it on the green and spin it? And I think he caught it a groove low and didn't get any check spin. And that whole green runs away from you when you're to the right like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I made quite a few notes about that match. And then Rory on 16. This was the most difficult thing to watch. T-Bone talking about his round made me think about Rory. He hits like a 400-yard bomb, and he has gap wedge or sand wedge in. He had 116. He just flares it right, hits it fat, and then skulls it out of the bunker.
Been there.
And he's right up against like these railroad tie things. These would, I mean, just, and that's, he, and Tiger already hit in the bunker, so he had Tiger by a stroke. All he had to do was hit on the green two putt, and he's two up, or was he even then?
I think he was still down.
He was one down, so that would have been even going into 17.
Right.
Anybody's ball game. Instead, he's two down Dormy going into 17.
I'm about to say, especially on that par 3 when it's so short. I love that 17th hole if the matches make it that far, because it's not your traditional 240-yard par 3 where guys are hitting 4-iron or hybrid or whatever. It's a short iron shot, but the green still slopes like crazy. And sometimes, you know, that pitching wedge and 9-iron shot can get a little more antsy than that long iron.
I mean, as we've seen at TPC, best players in the world dunking it in the water, you know, with just a 9-iron, sometimes gap wedge. So, yeah, I mean, it was really fun to watch. And then, of course, we had quite a match between Kuchar and Sergio. We had some stuff that penalty on Sergio.
Yeah, we're going to save that for golf gossip.
We'll get into a little bit later. But one thing that really stood out, 18, par 4, pins right over that bunker. Sergio, Rory, and Tiger all hit it to about 45 yards out. Sergio and Tiger dump it in the bunker. Best players in the world not pulling off a 45-yard shot. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand when you're at that stage, you have to at least give it there. You know, land it at the hole. Don't try to hit the perfect shot. Make yourself a 15-footer coming back.
Right.
You can't bring that bunker into play. It just absolutely killed him. Then, of course, Molinari's three-putt on 18. That was big for me because I don't know if Kisner had any extras in him.
Well, you know, there are some rumors that are going around. You know, golf Twitter is a interesting place, but especially the Tiger fans on Twitter, wild. They're just outrageous. But a lot of people were saying that Tiger threw the match, especially against Lucas Beauregard, so that he didn't have to keep playing, so he could rest up for Augusta.
I don't know about that. I don't think the Tiger's that type of guy. Tiger's the guy that wants to kick your teeth in every time he tees it up.
Right.
I mean, if he can beat you by 7, he's going to wonder why he didn't beat you by 8.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to get on his knees and hit a ball out of a bush, which was so fucking awesome.
That was phenomenal.
I think
that was probably a shot of the tournament.
That was so sweet. That's going to be on his highlight reel for the rest of his career.
He's on his knees in the middle of a bush. Like his club and ball is in the middle of the bush, flips the club upside down, goes lefty, scoots it through the bush to 3 feet, makes the par.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think trying that hard on a Friday match maybe.
I must say, but that was still group play.
Yeah, who cares?
I mean, imagine how tired he was playing Snedeker.
Right.
Imagine how tired Kisner and Kuchar were, especially on that last match.
Yeah.
Because you go through the group rounds, which that changing of the format, that's an interesting discussion anyway. But then you got to play 36 on Saturday. And then in order to make the final match, you got to play 36 again.
Back-to-back 36 holes
and
is
then
tough.
And then even if you don't play in the final match, the winner's match, you know, Molinari and Beauregard were still playing 36 holes for that third place.
That's the hardest part. That would be the hardest part is knowing you're playing in the consolation. You got to play 18 more holes. You're just like, fuck.
I'd be out of there.
Well, you know, T-Bone, we kind of talked about it towards the beginning of this podcast. We wanted to see some different formats, and we had mentioned the match play. So what'd you think?
I thought it was great. And kind of one of the key points I took away from this tournament is watching Kisner, an American, win this tournament. And he's nowhere to be seen in the Ryder Cup, really hurts.
Man, that's another thing I saw on Twitter was so many people were saying, why wasn't Kisner at Le Golf National?
I mean, it's always easy to say that now.
Yeah, hindsight 2020.
I don't think we had a chance regardless of who was playing in that tournament in this past Ryder Cup. But I think that definitely made a statement for future Ryder Cup selections because I think the first day, the European Ryder Cup team was like 9 out of 10 matches that they'd won. They're just absolutely dominant, but it's good to see an American win overall. And hopefully, you know, that's a good omen for upcoming Ryder Cups.
Right. It's a lot of fun watching a tournament that's not your general 72-stroke play event. you know, even something as simple as Zurich making a team match. So I think match play is really important because come Ryder Cup season especially, you can kind of see who your good Ryder Cup players are. I thought he might do well just because he finished second last year, and Austin Country Club tends to favor maybe a little bit more of the shorter hitters. That's why I saw Kuchar out there, not necessarily the bombers. Like Koepka, he didn't even make it out of pool play.
Right.
Or did DJ make it out of pool play?
Nope.
Yeah, that's wild. But then again, it did provide us with Rory versus Tiger.
That's
in the round 16.
Mm-hmm.
That was great to watch. What'd y'all think of that?
That's a dream matchup. Like, two Titans taking it on.
I think having Tiger upset him, too, was awesome.
I didn't even have Tiger making it out of the match.
Was that a true upset?
At this point in time, I'd
yes.
say so.
Rory's the hottest player on the planet right now.
Yes.
And he is hotter than anyone. So, Tiger wins, and you think it's destiny that he's going to win the tournament, and whoever the hell his name is.
Barrigard.
Say that five Tiger? Times fast.
Yeah.
Ah, that was pretty disappointing, but
that guy's saucy. Nerves of steel for sure.
Which, I mean, he was that bomber, I guess. But, you know, out of the final four guys, he was really the only one. It'll be interesting, especially come next Ryder Cup. A lot of people are saying just go ahead and give Kisner a spot. But then again, Le Golf National, I think, set up four players like that. And with it being at Whistling Straits in 2020, that's going to favor more of like your Bubba Watsons.
Yeah.
Your DJs.
DJ, Koepka, Bubba Watson.
Guys to just bomb the ball. They're probably going to tip it out of like 8,000 yards or pretty close to it.
It's going
to
be, I guarantee you it's 76, every bit of 7,600 at least.
Yeah, for sure. And especially I think that time of year is probably going to be windy. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Still got 18 months still. Next Ryder Cup.
True.
Let's kind of pump the brakes on it. But, I mean, it's definitely good seeing Kisner. I think everybody here on this podcast is pro Kisner.
I agree.
I mean, how can you not be
love that
pro
dude.
Kisner? He's just good old Southern boy. He loves beer and golf. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
In Austin Country Club, man, that course is awesome. I would love to play that course. Have y'all had a chance to play it?
I have not had a chance to play it. But just going back to that Tiger being there, Tiger in Texas, phenomenal. You know,
it's a rarity these days.
It is. It really is. There's that video that surfaced when he's walking down the cart path and some lady goes, "Hey, Tiger, will you sign my titties later?" And the guy taking the video goes, "Oh, God, thanks for playing in Texas, Tiger." Like, fuck.
Well, if anything, that video will get him back to Texas.
I would imagine so. We don't even, it's not even confirmed that he didn't sign those titties.
Who knows?
Yeah, we cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, you know. He's got a track record. But yeah, when he hold that, I had a buddy who was there, and when he hold that like 80 yarder on.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So he was saying like he was in between the tent behind the green and he was in the crowd, you know, to the right of the green. Mm-hmm. And he said that was the loudest across the lake is, you know, higher like cliffs. He said it was just bouncing off that, and it was one of the loudest things he's ever been to in his life. And he's been to Super Bowls, he's been to national championships. Wow. He said it was one of the loudest moments ever.
That's so cool. That highlight, especially when you got the camera view that's right behind it, and so it's like following the ball flight the whole way, see it suck back into the pin. That's amazing.
That had to be an experience. He's
just
one of
a little Tiger magic.
He's one of the biggest Tiger fans. He wears nothing but Nike hats and Nike shirts, and just he's. I can't imagine.
Wears
being
red
him
on Sundays.
Oh my gosh, it's probably a great experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had Art Strickland on the podcast pretty early on, and he said the Austin Country Club is one of those courses that he would love to play for the rest of his life. You know, talking a lot about the Bombers course, especially Whistling Straits at the Ryder Cup, it's on the mind, and Austin Country Club. It requires more angles, more strategic thought. And even though the rough wasn't high, but that is still Bermuda, and a lot of those guys, frankly, aren't used to playing in Bermuda.
Right, and you can
see it's little things like that that matter.
You can see the greens on this course; some of them are very big, but that par three green's perfect example. You hit it short right when that pin's back left, you're screwed, and vice versa. So the green's really not that big. You're looking at a section of the green, and that's your only chance to make that putt. So if you don't get it there, you're basically don't have a shot. Other guy looks at it. Licks his chops and goes for it. That is a perfect match play scenario, going second after somebody. And if somebody stuffs it, then you have no option. You just go right at it, and that's it. So yeah. I love greens like that, just what you were saying, par three. That's a great – that 17th hole is beautiful.
I thought it was interesting, too. I think whenever Kisner and Kuchar were playing in the last round, kind of going back to that being a lot of golf, I think Kisner only had three birdies on the day and one, what was it, 4 and 3?
Yeah.
To seal it up. It's interesting. You know, that it's a marathon. But what do? We sprint marathons.
That's right.
Well, you know, some guys who've been in Golf Gossip in the past, include Sergio and Kuchar, were again in the news. T-Bone, take it away with that.
Well, who would have thought Matt Kuchar would be such a topic of Golf Gossip? But right? Here he is.
Man, in 2019, he's just all over
the news. His publicist got to be up to his ears.
Yeah, it's crazy. No kidding, right?
Well, anyway, starting Golf Gossip, for those of you that didn't see, is the Tiger, it was the Sergio Kuchar match on Saturday. Do we know what hole it was?
It was pretty early on. It was like number seven.
No, it was seven. It was seven because he mentioned it eight.
So the seventh hole, Sergio has a 12 footer for bogey?
It's a 12 footer for par. Win the hole.
To win the hole. So he hits it to about 6 inches. It's a pretty terrible putt. Didn't really have a chance of going in. And he kind of half ass goes up to it and taps it. And it misses the hole.
Pretty quick to right after he missed it. He pretty much just walked right up and hit it.
Yeah, so because of that, Kuchar didn't have time to give him the putt. And as a result, he lost the hole. People didn't really know what was going on at first. But I think Sergio knew immediately and Kuchar knew immediately that he lost the hole because he literally just missed a tap-in. And there has been kind of some controversy about what happened following. It's still unclear. They made a really awkward video about it today that was released today. Sergio and Kuchar were sitting in a golf cart kind of talking about the situation, saying that they're all good, but it was just really awkward. But anyways, one of the rumors going around is that, what actually did happen was Kuchar was saying, you know, I feel bad about how this all played out. This doesn't feel right. And the rumor was that Sergio asked him if he would just concede the next hole, essentially forfeit the next hole to eliminate that tap and putt that Sergio had. And based on the video that they released today, it made it seem like Sergio didn't ask, but he did.
He did.
And they tried to cover it up like it wasn't a big deal, but I've seen arguments that go both ways. I can surprisingly kind of see both views, but ultimately I think Sergio fucked up big time as usual.
Yeah.
And I think the option of conceding the next hole, I think that could have been very possible if it was any other golfer than Sergio. Like if you had Brant Snedeker do that, which he probably wouldn't do. Brant Snedeker said, hey, Kuchar, you know, can we just concede this next hole? I think it would have been a lot more likely than allowing him to do that to Sergio, considering the tantrums and all the stuff he's done
within the last
few months. So, it was pretty interesting. What are you guys' thoughts? Sergio totally in the wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it's match play. So even if he was still in the hole, if Kuchar had a putt, you know, closer than that, and he would have gone and tapped it in, he would have played a stroke that was closer than his, so he would have played out a turn, lost a hole. So you just don't do that in match play, no matter what.
So one of the things that I saw today was, right when that happened, Kuchar was pretty quick to calling over the rules official, which is, come on. Like, well, I think it's kind of being this, it's a, who knows? Like, he's always had this nice guy persona, but we've had the caddy thing, and now we're having this.
You think he's just stingy is what you're saying?
I think he could be a stingy bastard. I mean, I would not have called over the rules official. I would have let it play out.
Okay, in his defense,
I agree with that.
In his defense, rules have been in the conversation every single week. And so Kuchar probably didn't know what was going on. And there are so many cameras and so many microphones everywhere that if Sergio actually did ask if it was good, and if Kuchar did say that was good, but then turns out the cameras or audio picked up something different, then that would hurt his nice guy personality probably even more. So I think it was the right call bringing in the rules official just because there's been so much controversy around it so far.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think about is, so how did this play out? If Sergio did come up to Kuchar and say, hey, can we concede this? Before that, Kuchar goes, I guess Kuchar came to him and he goes, I feel bad about how that played out. And then Sergio goes, will you concede the next hole? He probably wasn't expecting that, right? When Sergio asked him, like, let's just play out and see what happens. Like, There's, it doesn't add up. There had to have been some tension, some kind of.
Yes, there was definitely. I saw him walking down the eighth fairway when they were in the fairway. Sergio was laughing, but you could tell he was heated. He was throwing his arms up and, you know, things like that. And it was, I would never concede the next hole. There's just too much. There's too much on the line.
Absolutely.
And that's how he was pissed too, because the next hole he missed a putt and then just swung his putter 120 miles per hour.
Pretty. I saw that one in slow motion. He loaded the shaft great. Yeah. That was a good swing. Probably his best swing of the day.
A lot of lag.
Yeah, a lot of lag.
That. When I saw that,
Sergio
too,
messed up.
Did Kuchar call the rules official again when he swung?
Oh,
God. Did that count as
T-bone.
But,
you know.
Go ahead.
Sergio messed up. Yeah, he should have waited.
That's at the end of the day, yeah.
And he admitted it.
Right, and he was wrong. Dude, you're right. That video that came out today, brutal. Yeah. It reminded me of that Koepka and DJ video after the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I don't know which
painful
one was worse.
To watch.
I didn't see the DJ one in Koepka, but I saw the one that y'all sent
they
today.
Tried to apologize.
I'll recommend watching it once, and then that's it. Don't ever watch it again. It's terrible.
They tried to apologize about a drunken fight that happened.
Like on the plane ride back from France.
That couldn't have been good. But
I'll say those are two big guys probably wrestling on a plane.
We've seen two of these apology videos and not a fan. Just I felt awkward. I think the best way to handle something like that was going back to the Spieth Reed drama, and he just kind of gave him a hug on the first tee. I thought that was a pretty good icebreaker.
A little corny, but that was pretty good.
That was awkward. That
just
was weird.
Watch the
that
fucking video.
That was a weird man hug.
Kuchar had his arm around Sergio in a cart, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, like, you fucked up, but I'm just trying to not look like a dipshit. Like, let's just smile." And that was
right.
Weird.
Well, in Kuchar's defense, he's on the other side of the green, so literally. Sergio didn't give him enough time because that's what he was, what, like 6 inches from the hole? That's generally a putt that you just give somebody.
Yeah. And
Sergio probably thought that it was good, understandably so. But on a tournament that is that big, that hard of a field, and there's points on the line, there's World Golf Ranking points, FedEx points, everything
right.
that you can think of, everybody knows that you got to audibly say that is good.
Right.
And Sergio just didn't give Kuchar enough time for it. And so it happened on the front nine. And their match went to 18.
Right.
At the time, it probably didn't seem like that big of a deal. But in retrospect,
it's huge.
That's massive. That's a loss of hole. And it went down to 18. Yeah.
It's a game changer.
About
that. Absolute game changer, yeah.
At the end of the day, Sergio fucked up. But he can look at it different ways.
It's interesting to say about Sergio's past. I heard one analogy. I think it was Brandon Chambly said this on Golf Channel. If a police officer recognizes a car that has a tendency to speed, they're more likely to pull you over for speeding as opposed to maybe just one off. Sergio has a history and a past of acting irrational, being immature, so that probably wasn't going in his favor. But anyway, I think that kind of puts a bow up on the match play. Is there anything else that y'all want to add?
Nope,
no,
it was fun.
I wanted to continue on with a little my combination of gossip and also, you know, back to my fashion piece.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So
give it to us.
It was Tiger's clothing line for the Masters was released.
Because the Masters is coming up very soon.
Cannot wait.
Yes.
And he is doing a throwback of his 05 outfits that he wore that week. And he's bringing back the mock turtlenecks, which I think is awesome. I actually thought those shirts kind of sucked. I had them back in the day, and I thought they were really cool. I've hated them ever since. But now that Tiger's bringing them back, they're really cool again. So,
and why is 2005 important?
It's the last time he won the Masters.
Boom, baby.
14 years. That's crazy. 14 years since he's won the Masters.
He's had a little bumpy road between now and 2005, though. So,
Tad bit.
That's a very nice way of putting that.
Yeah.
It's a little bumpy road.
Yeah, he's had a bumpy 14 years.
Do you like those shirts more or the blade collars that Nike has now?
I hate those. I absolutely hate those, actually. Mock turtlenecks, better than those.
Okay.
They look like tennis shirts.
They both look like tennis shirts.
No one would play tennis in a turtleneck.
But it's a mock turtleneck.
Still. I'm the fashion guy. Don't question me.
That's right.
My apologies.
But yeah, anyways, that's a little golf gossip for the week and a little fashion. We want to do a quick preview for the TPC San Antonio and then maybe save the Masters.
Yeah, we're going to save our Masters preview for next week. We're going to do a deep dive into into Augusta National, maybe a little bit of history of the Masters. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it.
Content coming next week.
You know, this week kind of sucks. It hits home a little bit because
it's sad.
This is usually when the Houston Open should be.
That's right.
And then the damn Valero tournament in San Antonio took our spot on the schedule. Sucks.
Yeah. I'm not happy about it. We got pushed back to October, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have much preview on TPC San Antonio. I think it's probably going to be a better field than they've had in the past. I know Speed's going to be there.
Yeah, Ricky's playing.
Why wasn't Ricky
so in Ricky and Ricky and Adam Scott were the only two out of the top 64 players in the world that weren't there.
Yeah,
strong field.
I know why Adam Scott wasn't in Austin, but why wasn't Ricky?
I never heard anything about why he wasn't there.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, leading up to Augusta, especially, I guess it's different now with the schedule change. The players is like the first major or whatever you want to call it on the schedule. But in the past, it's always been Augusta, and people always have different approaches to how they want to get ready for Augusta National.
Some people play, some people don't.
Right. So maybe Ricky, I think he's one of those guys, he likes to play leading up to the tournament.
Yeah.
So maybe he just needed a little bit of rest.
Yeah, as we talked about the marathon of the match play, if you won that tournament, then you got to play again and then go be ready for the Masters. That's probably... I'm not a pro golfer, but that's probably not the best.
We've heard.
Why not with the quad and a triple back-to-back right there?
Two trips.
Two trips.
Take it easy. Give me some credit.
Nice snowman. that's another thing we didn't talk about, match play. Like, that's a great thing about match play. You can just skull fuck and be like, all right, I'll see you on the next tee.
Man,
like,
I could maybe beat you on match play now that I think about it.
I don't know. I don't think so.
We're not going to give you that much credit. I mean, humble brag, but I don't think you can beat me in KJ. Can you?
Well, he's got the boot
you
on.
Have.
We'll see.
I'll play you in the boot match play.
Okay.
Next weekend. Or shit, this weekend. I'm not supposed to walk on it till middle of next week, but I'll play you this Sunday.
Let's play. Let's put something on it.
All right.
What tees can you play from?
Let's do senior tees. We'll compromise.
We'll just play like 6,500 yards, 6,600 yards. Just play the normal men's tees.
Yeah.
We're not playing Jersey Meadows, though, sorry. Well,
how about we get some feedback on...
But that's his home course.
Let's get some feedback from the listeners for punishment that loser has to do.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
what
that's
if you
good.
Do, like, loser isn't allowed to watch the Masters?
Okay, no.
Would that
no,
be too
that's
steep?
Not, no.
That's too steep.
I'm confident I'm going to wipe the course with T-Bone, and I won't bet that.
You trying to cancel the Christmas Grinch?
That's just rude.
That's offensive.
I'm surprised you even said that.
Yeah, I might cut that.
Yeah, that was mean.
We'll see. Yeah, that's why you got to follow us on social media, because we want to hear from you. Give us some ideas on what some punishment would be. I like this. I like this idea.
He's just worried about it. He's going to have to wear a fucking tutu or something next podcast. I'll whoop his ass.
That's good. I think that's good. Wear something for the next pod.
Oh, man.
For sure. So, yeah, Valero Texas Open. I'll probably tune in a little bit, but it's also... kind of the end of March Madness, so we got big games coming up.
I did want to talk about the Tech-Gonzaga game just real quick. If you're going to go out...
We are a golf podcast, but go ahead.
I mean, this ties in, especially with our 300 par. Gonzaga finishes 69 points, and they go out with a technical foul. Like, what a way to go out in flames. Like, you only put up 69 points, which isn't too bad, but then you go out with a technical foul.
We like that number on this
podcast. Huh?
We like that number on this podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome. And,
yeah.
1 second, like 1.7 seconds left, reaches across foul, or reaches out of bounds and hits the guy's arm. Tech, game over. Like, no no chance after that. It was phenomenal.
Boom.
Yeah. Go out. 300
guns
par. Blazing.
Yeah. Well, so match play was a lot of fun. I think I'd be in favor of them putting at least one more match play on the schedule. I know Brandel, you know, going back to him, he was really talking a lot about on Twitter a lot how match play sucks, essentially. And I was like, what's going on? And he got lit up on Twitter about it.
That guy sucks.
But he was saying,
I hate him.
Yeah, well, he was saying that the two guys who led the field in strokes gained putting, or strokes gained off the tee, didn't even make it past the group stage. And that was Ben Yunan and Justin Rose. And I'm like, yeah, you know, 72 holes might be the quote-unquote best test of golf for a tournament. But, you know, match play, it's a lot different because it's a psychological battle. The person who's probably the most confident on the first tee is more likely going to win because they just have that mental edge. You're playing against a man instead of the field, which is very rare in golf.
Is Brandel Chambly the Skip Bayless of golf?
That's solid right there.
I think that's
we could
a good,
go with that.
I think that's a good take right there.
I'd sign off on that.
Okay.
Except I actually kind of like Brandel.
Y'all hate everybody. Y'all were talking shit about Rory, hottest player on the planet, on our first couple podcasts.
He wasn't hot at the time.
Oh, my God. So you're fair weather fans, too, now?
I've always liked Brandel. I don't agree with a lot of his takes, but I like him way more than Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless kind of sucks.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
like Skip Bayless is the worst.
Whoa.
But yeah, what's the tournament? I think it's in Nevada where they do like a weird point scoring system.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the I don't know the name of the tournament, but I know what you're talking about.
Like, I think I'd be in favor of changing that tournament. Nobody understands
the
point system.
That's the same thing as, you know, like the same thing as stroke play.
It's like a birdie. It's like a birdie is 3 points,
2 points, and the eagle is three. But if you bogey, it's minus one, and so on. Like, who gives a shit? That's the same thing as scoring. Like, right. You're doing the same thing.
Exactly.
If I make an 8 from greenside bunker, I'm getting penalized.
Absolutely.
Instead of just one hole in match play.
Well, I think it'll be cool to see some of the other PGA Tour guys also do match play. You know, the WGC is great. Like we said, it's probably the hardest field to date next to the Players.
What, just have like a Tommy Two Gloves out there getting his ass worked, or what?
Well, it'll be great to see, you know, guys like Cramer Hickok out there, or Kyle Jones, who hopefully we'll get him on the podcast. Shout out to Kyle. Hope you're listening. But, you know, some of the other guys, Wyndham Clark, guys who were just right on the cut of the 64, or right. Top 60, whatever the number was, just to see them handle match play, because they don't get that type of exposure. And then you throw them into a tournament with the damn point system.
Yeah.
I think it'll be cool to see more guys get exposure to match play, because even guys like Kyle Stanley, who wasn't there, who was in the conversation for the Ryder Cup last year, because he was right on the cut line as a captain's pick. And then, you know, if Furyk had seen him play in match play, then maybe, I don't know if that would have influenced his decision or not, because Finau and who else? And Bryson were the other two picks.
Yeah.
You can't go against those guys. I mean, they were way too hot at the time. But
agreed.
I don't know. It's just an interesting thought. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up for this episode of the 300 Part Podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, write us a review, and give us a 5-star rating. You can check us out on social media at 300 Part Pod. Number 3 under par pod. Send us your ideas for this week of the match. Of the match.
The match. We'll call it the match. Let us know what you want T-Bone to do.
The match of Houston.
Ooh. Which is going to be really bad if I just go out there and shank it around and lose as much shit as I'm talking.
I mean, you do have a broken ankle and are wearing a cast.
Well,
or soft cast.
Actually,
walking cast.
We are going to have to figure that out, because I can't get into bunkers with this. But my bunker play is phenomenal. That's better than my chipping, because it's not very good.
Okay, we can work something out.
Okay.
Very true. Can confirm. KJ has a really good bunker game.
You're just going to have to be really, really vocal when you give it to me from, you know, 4 feet, 3 feet, whatever the friend zone's going to be tournament.
I'm not Kucher.
Okay, good. I don't want to have any rules officials.
Don't leave any
coin. Out.
Don't leave any coins on the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to have T-Bone to use an actual marker around T-Bone.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the 300 Part Podcast. And remember,
Little White Ball's life.